Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps? You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I am your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, are the Ron and Hermione to my Harry, Sean Keller.
Hello.
And Mike Pareto.
Sadly, I think Sean has to be Ron because he's a ginger.
That's so racist.
That's not why Sean has to be Ron.
Is it because I'm so pedantic?
Pedantic and competent at most things that you do. It's both an insult and a huge compliment at the same time.
Thank you.
At the top of the episode, we're going to Sean.
Ooh.
Sean, what have you got for us?
I want to talk about the final installment of the Skywalker saga. Nothing that has anything to do with trailers or footage or speculation other than, it's definitely speculation.
Mike, what is this discussion of Star Wars Episode 9 allegedly free of spoilers brought to us by?
Well, you've tried. Nergen, Durgen, Sanford, Gruber, Madugan, Schnauzer, Johnson, Harper's cookies. Now it's time to try the latest in an award-winning line of Nergen, Durgen, Sanford, Gruber, Madugan, Schnauzer, Johnson, Harper products. It's Nergen, Durgen, Sanford, Gruber, Madugan, Schnauzer, Johnson, Harper's bagels. Following an ancient recipe passed down through hundreds of generations of Nergen, Durgen, Sanford, Gruber, Madugan, Schnauzer, Johnson, Harper's Anglo-Celtic, Dutch, German, Mongolian roots. Try our classic bagel recipes from oatmeal raisin to cinnamon apple to wasabi quail egg cabbage. Good. So next time you stop by the grocery store, choose Nergen, Durgen, Sanford, Gruber, Madugan, Schnauzer, Johnson, Harper for the most traditional Anglo-Celtic, Dutch, German, Mongolian bagels. Back to you, Sean.
Wow.
Always good to get a repeat sponsor.
Oh, absolutely.
Brand loyalty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotta try those.
So, gentlemen, going into episode 9, just from like a storytelling perspective, one possibility that could or could not happen is Ben Solo, a.k.a. Kylo Ren, getting some sort of redemption.
Sure.
I ask you, is Ben Solo beyond redemption? Specifically, do you think that killing Han Solo on screen is worse than Anakin killing younglings that we didn't know or care about?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Of course not.
Han Solo,
next
like,
question.
People get
he killed a bunch of children and was still redeemed.
No, I get it. That's what I'm saying.
Killing Han Solo is not worse than a bunch of children.
I disagree. I think that for...
Oh, come
says
on.
The
no,
only
listen
man
to me.
On the show with children.
Listen to me. I'm talking about from a viewer's perspective. I give a shit about Han Solo. I don't give a shit about a bunch of six-year-olds I never saw before that moment, or I saw him in one scene or whatever. I get that objectively, it's way worse to kill a bunch of innocent kids. I get that.
But you cared about Obi-Wan, and Darth Vader killed Obi-Wan. So, I mean...
Did he kill Obi-Wan, though? Or did Obi-Wan sacrifice himself?
Well, I think you could ask the same thing about Han. However, if the question is about whether he can be redeemed, I think there's just zero question that if Darth Vader could be redeemed, then Kylo Ren / Ben Solo could be redeemed, and probably, hopefully, will be.
Is that something that either of you want to have happen?
Yeah, actually, to me, the most interesting thing, even though it would kind of echo exactly what happened in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really, really cool if he could be redeemed and Rey could fall to the dark side.
So they switch places?
Yeah.
That was something I thought, if they were going to do it, the perfect opportunity was in Snoke's throne room. Yeah.
That's going to be a hard thing to do and resolve in a single movie.
Exactly. If they'd have done it in The Last Jedi, then okay. But if they try to do it real quick in the last 2 hours, you know, it's like, it's a little different.
I guess. That doesn't mean I don't want to see it happen. I mean, they've kind of thrown a lot of other rules about storytelling to the wind. So,
you know, I honestly do not care if Kylo Ren is redeemed and becomes Ben Solo again, or he continues down the dark path, as long as the story told about him is good.
Yeah, see, I don't want him to be redeemed because, like you said, Mike, I think it would too strongly echo exactly what happened in the original trilogy. And it's like, I get that Star Wars is fairy tale bullshit, but for Ben to be redeemed is like too much fairy tale bullshit for me. Like, it's just,
but he's kind of just a poser to begin with. Like, he's not like Darth Vader. Like, he wants to be like Darth Vader, but he's not at all.
Like, yeah, so he should die like a little bitch.
Well, whether or not he's redeemed doesn't mean he can't die.
Yeah. I don't think he is the ultimate bad guy in this series. I don't think that he's going to end up being a bad guy at all. That's just kind of how I feel about it. That they've set it up in such a way that Ben Solo is like just so insecure about his evilness, you know, that he has to fight the good in him instead of fighting the bad. You know, it's like
I think in the second act of this movie, we're going to discover that the big bad the entire time was that weird whale creature that Luke sucked the titties up to get the milk.
Well, he's got reason to be pissed.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
The evil mastermind for sure.
He's like, that's not even milk, you monster.
Is that how he talks?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's clearly how
he
talks.
Why isn't it he? I mean, I guess if it's not milk, it could be a he.
Take me out to dinner first. Jeez, buster. That's what he sounds like.
It does kind of sound like I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Adam Driver is the best actor in the sequel trilogy. And I would love for him to have really, and he has, I think to this point, have had fun, interesting stuff to play in that character. I just, you know, The Last Jedi, I feel like, made a point of stating that it's not always fairy tale bullshit. And sometimes your heroes get old and dumb and, you know, they milk big alien titties. So to circle back around and be like, just kidding, it is, it's fairy tale, we're Disney, and Ben is good, and everyone is good. You know, like, I don't know. I don't want it. I just don't want it from a storytelling perspective.
I do think...
if they do it, I'd like for it to be good, like Joe said. I don't want it. Yeah, Mike, sorry.
I think Adam Driver is one of the highlights of the new trilogy. I think he got, you know, certainly in The Last Jedi, he was probably the best part of the movie. You know, I think like in The Force Awakens, he got a lot of shit for being like a whiny bitch and losing to Rey and all that. But
yeah, well, that's because it didn't make sense.
Right, yeah. But his acting was not to blame.
We finally got to see his shirtless bod in The Last Jedi. And I'm glad that I saw the film in IMAX because I don't think his chest would have fit on a standard theatrical screen.
Big torso. I
it's a big torso.
Prior to Last
That's
Jedi.
That's a weird comment.
Well,
do you want to talk about shirtless Kylo Ren for a bit longer, or
I think Adam Driver is awkwardly built. I think he's got a rather large torso. All right.
It's huge. He looks like a swimmer.
I'm not saying it's bad. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Michael Phelps. Yeah. He's also got a large torso.
Yeah, he's got the swimmer bod.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to say, not about Adam Driver's torso, was that prior...
Well, then I think we're done here.
I was going to say that I was super into the characters of The Force Awakens, if not all of the elements of the story. I bought into the acting of Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley and John Boyega. I liked all of those people and their characters. Some of the shit that they were made to do, I wasn't on board with. It didn't make sense to me. That feeling was magnified a thousandfold when I saw The Last Jedi. So if all that happens is I'm brought back to where I was at episode 7, that's going to be a huge win. I need decent plots and resolutions for those three, and I will be a happy camper. That's it. That's all I need.
You don't give a shit about Poe Dameron.
I do not.
Interesting. He's probably one of my favorite new characters.
No, not into it.
I will say what you will about the sequel trilogy, but the casting, in terms of casting capable, good actors, is they've done a wonderful job there.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Ding.
Two fighters against a Star Destroyer?
That guy. Best actor ever.
We don't have any of those lines like that in the sequel trilogy, I feel like. Or no, I'd take that back. Those two went that way. They parked on the beach. There they are.
That was what's-his-face, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Doing an impression of Goofy, I think.
That was so fucking stupid. Oh my God.
Gentlemen.
Sorry.
Gentlemen, I hate to put the brakes on this, but the bell has been rung.
And, I know, but we could talk about it like the whole episode.
We could, but you're just going to have to wait until your next segment, and then you can bring it up again if you want.
I'm going to scrap all of my segments. We're just going to talk about Star Wars.
I mean, that
Wars.
Is your prerogative.
I've never done that, but I might do it.
All right, next we're going to Mike. Mike, what have you got for us?
I want to talk about pandas.
Okay.
I want to talk about giant fucking pandas.
Cool.
So, Joe, who is this segment about giant fucking pandas brought to us by?
Thanks for asking, Mike. This segment about giant pandas is brought to us by Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell's premium vodka. Vodka is fun. The kind of fun we had watching the first two seasons of Sliders, before the third season when John Rhys-Davies and Sabrina Lloyd left the show. You can bring that same fun to any and every occasion with each smooth sip of Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell's premium vodka. He was the fat kid in Stand By Me. Enjoy it on ice or in your favorite cocktail. Whether it's a vodka martini or a Moscow mule, you'll be sending your taste buds on a mission to Mars with Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell's premium vodka. Remember the movie Kangaroo Jack? Wow, 2003 was crazy. Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell's premium vodka. He was in a Mariah Carey music video. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Joe. So, guys, I know this is a slightly different segment than normal. I'm going to lead it off with a little bit of a rant. Is that okay with you?
I mean, I spent like 15 minutes talking about teledildonics once, so you do
that
what you got to do.
That is true, yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, what the fuck, pandas?
Oh, wait, you're speaking to the pandas.
I'm speaking to the pandas and to you.
Oh, okay.
First of all, pandas, I don't know if you guys knew this, but they can only reproduce once a year for 2 days.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you're married, so you and I know that that's typical.
Speak for yourself. Second, even during this 2 day window, they don't usually have the urge to reproduce. In captivity, they literally show pandas panda porn to get them in the mood. Third, the females are picky, okay? A whole bunch of the males don't even know how to mount them, probably because they've never even seen sex happen. Even if they do successfully reproduce, they have one baby. Fifth, that one stupid baby is born premature and pathetic. It's like it's literally a half of a pound or less. It has no hair. It can't do anything. It's fucking blind. And finally, the mother eats nothing but fucking bamboo all day, which is A, really lacking in nutrients because it's, you know, it's basically like an inedible wooden tube. And B, it occupies all of her time. And C, it makes shitty milk, so the babies grow super slowly or they die. So just what the fuck, pandas? Do you even want to survive as a species? I feel like we're actually intervening in an unnatural way by helping them survive. Seems like they want to go, guys. What do you think?
Are you, just to be clear, are you advocating for the extinction of pandas?
I am advocating for the natural processes of nature
so this is
to
like,
take their course.
This is like your foreign policy is to like let them figure it out themselves. We're staying out of it.
So bamboo, there's a major problem with the deforestation of bamboo. I get it. Okay, so that has to stop. But as long as that stops, I think we can let the pandas kind of just figure it out on their own.
But they're clearly not going to, though, right?
I think they're clearly not going to. I saw a video on Reddit the other day, and this is anecdotal, but it was really funny, of a panda holding her baby, her cub. And some one of the doctors wanted to take the cub, so to give it shots or some shit. So she gives the panda, the mother, an apple, and she just drops her baby and takes the apple.
Oh my god!
She's like, oh fuck yeah, an apple. Fuck babies.
That's better than a baby.
I mean, if I've been eating nothing but bamboo for my entire life, and someone's like apple, hell yeah, take my baby. Give me that apple. Now
it's ridiculous.
No, I agree with you, and I mean I know they're adorable, but we're playing God right now. This is a species that is dying off completely on its own. It has nothing to do with human intervention. Human intervention is the only thing keeping them around.
Well, okay, so there is some deforestation.
No, prior to the deforestation, they shouldn't be eating bamboo in the first place.
No, yeah, you're right.
They don't have the digestive system to process that kind of food source.
They don't actually need to eat bamboo. They could much more easily, as you said, eat other things.
Like apples.
If they had access to apples, yeah.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Mike, I don't know if your research or Joe, if your knowledge would be able to answer this, but how long have pandas been around? Like, are they a relatively new species? Or like, how did they survive for as long as they have?
They've been around for millions of years.
Right. So how did they thrive in like on this diet of bamboo and mating once a year?
I see your point. It is almost a miracle that the species has survived this long.
Absolutely.
that to me, yeah. It's like they exist in an ecosystem that even the slightest disturbance, like a hair on a scale, will completely fuck up their
life. The pandas
life.
Have been the Swiss watch of the animal kingdom. A single grain of sand and everything just goes to shit for them.
It seems like it. Yeah, and you can't survive that way forever. Human intervention or not. You know, it's something's going to change your environment at some point. And they can't adapt to any change.
Anything.
Well, if we were the ones responsible, or if we contributed towards their lower numbers, but they've gotten back to, you know, some sort of stabilization, then, yeah, I'm cool with just leaving them alone and seeing what happens.
I'm just saying let the pandas die off.
I'm just saying let nature take its course in this case. Now, yeah. if we can protect their environment, if we can stop poaching, then just whatever happens, happens. And I have a feeling whatever happens is going to be they're going to keep dying.
I'm on board with, like, one more intervention, and that's just to plant a bunch of apples.
Hey, there you go.
Just like around where they're looking for bamboo and see what happens.
See if they start eating only apples. They're like, fuck this shit.
It'd be a huge super fat fucking improvement to bamboo. Yeah.
Well, if the pandas go away, there's just going to be bamboo everywhere.
I'm just going to guess that a single apple probably provides more nutrition than, like, 5 pounds of bamboo.
To a panda, absolutely.
Like, seriously. It's a stick. It's a hollow stick. How do they eat that?
Well, I mean, you could eat
all right, gentlemen, we've come to the game segment of this week's show.
Woo.
Now, last week...
such a pathetic woo.
It was pretty bad.
Well, you didn't woo at all. A single you know woo is always pathetic.
You know what? I'm going to do it again, and I want like a real good, enthusiastic woo from both of you.
I'm going to get noise complaints. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Gentlemen, we've come to the game segment of this week's show.
Yeah!
Love it. Now, the last time I ran a game, I introduced you to subjective trivia.
Yep.
Now, this time, the name of the game is Impossible Trivia.
Oh, yay.
Oh, everybody loves things you can't possibly answer.
Yeah.
I think this is still going to be a lot of fun. And, Sean, what is Impossible Trivia brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Oral 6 Toothpaste. From the company that brought you Oral 5, try Oral 6. Your special someone will smile ear to ear when you give them Oral 6. Oral 6 makes your mouth tingle. That's how you know it's working. Oral 6 is specially designed and non-toxic, so once you finish, you can either spit or swallow. What's more, Oral 6 is safe for pets, too.
Oh, God.
There's no better way to start your day than with Oral 6. Who doesn't love Oral 6?
Oh.
Six.
What?
Gentlemen, welcome to Impossible Trivia. The game where I'm reasonably sure you don't know any of the answers off the top of your heads. There will be two types of questions in Impossible Trivia. The first is a lock-in question. These questions will ask you for a number, which you will send to me in Google Hangouts before answering. This is going to lock you into your answer and prevent the Price is Right-style shenanigans.
Nice.
Whoever provides the closest number to the actual answer will receive 1 point. The second type is a buzz-in question. So right now you're going to need to get yourselves over to Buzzin' Live.
Got it.
Done.
I got Big Red.
I'm still thinking about a nickname for me right now.
There's too many keystrokes for a nickname. What is it?
I've got Dave.
I like the way that you pronounced it, Joe, because that was perfect.
Well, it's lowercase and is prefaced by an ellipsis, so I feel it has to be Dave. All right. In a buzz-in question, each of you will get 2 guesses. Mm. The order determined by who buzzes in first. If you answer a buzz-in question correctly, you will receive 3 points. So wow. 1 point for lock-ins and 3 points for a buzz-in.
All right.
Clear on the rules. I need a third monitor right now, seriously. There's just so much going on.
Joe, I'm afraid your segment time is up. You can continue this game on your next scheduled segment.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Well, we all know the rules
now. Now that you're done explaining the rules of your game.
All right. There will be a total of 10 questions asked, 5 of each type.
There's more rules?
Question 1 is a lock-in question, so get your hangout windows ready.
Got it.
What was the median weight in kilograms of a set of full plate armor made during the European medieval period?
Median weight in kilograms. So that's 1,000 grams.
That's 1,000 grams. It's 2.2.
Why does that matter?
It's 2.2 pounds. 2.2 pounds.
I best imagine heavy things in terms of small units.
Let me think here. All right, hang on. I'm medieval armor. I'm going to say...
Putting your answers into my spreadsheet that will automatically calculate who is closer because I am getting kind of drunk. All right, Sean, what was the median weight of a suit of medieval full plate armor during the medieval period?
Well, Joe, I said 60 kilograms.
60 kilograms. And Mike, what do you believe that a set of full plate armor weighed?
I said 96 kilograms.
96 kilograms.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
The answer is 20 kilograms.
I swear,
nope, 96.
I was thinking 20 or 30, and I was like, no, it had to be heavier than that.
No.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my God, It would have been cripplingly impossible to wear even 60 kilograms.
Yeah, 96 kilograms would be like 210 pounds. That's insane. All right, oops. So the first point goes to Sean.
Woo!
Question number two is a buzz-in question.
Oh, boy.
All right.
All right.
Based on total units sold, what is the current record holder for best-selling video game of all time? Dave?
My guess would be Grand Theft Auto 5.
Ooh. No, but you are close. That is actually the third best-selling video game of all time. God. I do happen to have the list up just in case one of these came up. Sean,
well, I'm glad.
Your first guess.
Wii Sports.
Oh,
ooh.
God.
That is another close one.
Ah.
That is actually number four.
Damn it.
Mike, oh your God. Second and final guess.
Let's go with Minecraft.
Fuck, that's a good guess.
That is correct.
Ah, yes. Fuck. Christ.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has 110 million units sold so far. Wii Sports had 82.8 million units sold so far. Minecraft is currently at 176 million units sold so far.
Of course, it's only like 10 bucks, right? Or like 15 bucks. So
it's super cheap now.
I figure everybody plays it.
Now, there's still time for Wii Sports to catch up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What's funny is that both GTA 5 and Minecraft are still selling units. Like, they're still, like, topping charts in units.
That is weird.
Right?
Crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
All right, gentlemen, the next question, number three, is a lock-in question.
All right.
When at their closest, what is the approximate distance in kilometers between the Earth and Saturn?
Oh, my God.
Kilometers?
So far.
Fucking Christ.
Holy shit.
This is okay. Impossible trivia.
Oh, God. It's so far. At their closest, huh? Not that it would make much of a difference, really.
No, not really, but I did want to be specific with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay, in kilometers. Oh,
yes, we do have a global audience. We've currently been downloaded in 9 different countries, so I wanted to be, global. If you need it, a kilometer is there are roughly 1.6 kilometers per mile. Just think in miles and then add half of that to itself. You'll be in the ballpark.
Well, yeah, of course, because everyone knows the exact number of miles between the Earth and Saturn. And
obviously.
Its closest. Yeah.
All Oops. Right.
Wait, hold on. Let me think about that again.
Also, this being
I'm going to stick to it. I have to. I locked in.
Both of our best guesses could be wildly off.
Oh, they will be.
Yeah, I actually... like play tested this game at work and no one was anywhere in the ballpark. It was hilarious.
It's like, it's both way farther than you think. And also when you start to get into huge numbers, the distance is so much greater than you would think that it's like, it's very tricky.
That's true. All right. Sean, what was your guess for the distance between the Earth and Saturn at their closest point?
Well, Joe, I guessed 6,001,000,000 kilometers.
6,000,000,000 and 1 kilometers.
That's right.
And well, Mike, what was your answer?
My answer was 72 billion.
Oh, man.
The actual answer is 1.2 billion kilometers.
Hey! Jesus Christ. I'm way over guessing on all this shit.
So that question goes to Sean.
All right.
And that brings us to question number four, which is a buzz-in question. Buzzers have been reset.
Okay. I was only 5 billion kilometers off on that last
one.
I was 71 billion kilometers off. And I know more about this stuff than you do.
Way more.
That's what's fucked up about it.
If you're curious, it's a very close game right now. Sean has 2 and Mike has 3.
That doesn't make any sense, but it does because of the point system.
When it comes to outer space, it's very much, I feel, like one of those guess how many pieces of candy are in the jar contests, you know?
That's I've true. Just heard that, you know, I've heard so many times that the scale of the solar system is so tremendous that you just can't even imagine it. And you know that the sun is what? It's 96 million miles from Earth.
Yeah, I knew that.
And so that's, what is that, like 210 million kilometers. So I'm thinking, okay, well, five times that distance is like nothing. It's got to be a lot longer than that. And I was wrong. I was way wrong.
I mean, 1.2 billion is still quite a bit longer.
Oh, it is.
But, yeah, okay. All right, gentlemen, question number four. When American football player Delbert Leonard Bjork joined the NFL in 1937...
Great name.
Which team did he play for?
Oh, God.
Dave.
What?
I only know of of one early football team, so I'm going to say the Decatur Staleys.
That is incorrect. Sean, your first guess.
I'll say the Green Bay Packers.
That is incorrect. Mike, your second guess.
Oh, God. I don't know. Any other early football teams?
Just name a football team.
Let's go with the Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Sean, your second and final guess.
The Bears.
The Chicago Bears is correct.
Yes! What? The Bears.
I thought that the Decatur Staleys became the Bears like way later.
Well, they were the Bears when the NFL was created, which was like 100 years ago. But that was before the NFL was formed, I believe, is before they became the Bears.
I don't know whether or not any of that is true, but I do know that Delbert Leonard Bjork joined the Chicago Bears when he joined the NFL in 1937.
Okay.
Yeah, you idiot.
I did zero additional background research on this.
I will say that both teams are actually the same team.
That's great, Mike. You still lost that question. Number five is a lock-in.
All right.
In second edition Dungeons & Dragons,
God damn it.
First published in 1989, what was the THACO, or two-hit armor class zero, number for a 10th level fighter?
What?
Could you repeat that, please?
Please.
Certainly. In second edition Dungeons & Dragons, first published in 1989, what was the THACO, or two-hit armor class zero, number for a 10th level fighter?
Okay, hang on.
Fighter being a class, right?
Fighter is a class, yes.
A THACO is a two-hit. That's got to be like the number of damage it takes to defeat a two-hit enemy when you're a level 10. No, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to give you zero additional information.
I know you are. I'm trying to parse. Oh, God.
THACO.
All right.
THACO.
I am THACO. Locked in.
I don't know. I have to just. This is a completely wild guess.
All right. Sean, what do you believe to be the THACO for a 10th level fighter in 2nd edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, Joe, obviously, the answer is 69.
It's a great answer.
It is a very funny answer.
I would say it's pretty nice.
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 Mike, what do you believe was the THACO, or two-hit armor class zero, number for a 10th level fighter in 2nd edition Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, because everything is on the D20 scale, I have to pick something in that range, so I'm going to say 10.
Oh, man, that's the smarter guess.
It's a much smarter guess, because the answer is 12.
Yes!
Well done.
Finally.
So Sean was off by 57, and Mike was off by 2.
Well, I was off by 71 billion last time.
70.8 billion, to be accurate.
You're getting closer. You're getting closer.
All right. Question number six. This is a buzzing question.
All right.
What was the last name of my third grade English and social studies teacher?
Are you kidding me? I mean, why not buzz in on this one? I mean, what?
Dave?
Let's go. Let's go with Smith.
No, I was gonna guess that. You son of a bitch.
That is correct.
No, oh my God. No way. I was gonna guess that. I hate you.
No wonder you made that a question. You son of a bitch.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I hate you so much.
I mean, there was no way you could know it,
but
then
that's
also
like the most common name ever.
Exactly.
It is. Yeah. Well, in America, yeah.
I think that is the loudest my audio has ever spiked in the history of our podcast.
Can't believe, I am so proud of myself for wildly guessing that answer correctly.
Well done. Gentlemen, question number 7. What is the estimated volume in liters of Lake Michigan?
And this is a lock-in question, obviously, right?
Oh, yes. This is absolutely a lock-in question. I'm sorry I didn't say that.
In liters.
Liters.
Such a big lake. This is... okay.
There are 3.7, roughly 3.7 liters per gallon.
Oh, no.
I have no fucking idea. That's a lot. It's a lot. It's probably a lot more than I said.
I did a lot, too.
Mike, what do you believe to be the estimated volume in liters of Lake Michigan?
I said 1 trillion liters.
1 trillion liters.
That's a lot of liters.
It is a lot. It is a lot of liters.
It's a shitload of liters.
And Sean, what do you believe to be the volume of Lake Michigan in liters?
Well, I went even higher than a trillion, Joe. I went with 69 trillion liters.
All right, we've got 69 trillion liters and 1 trillion liters. The correct answer is 4.918 quadrillion liters.
Sean, you son of a bitch.
I can't fathom that many liters.
I can't either. That's ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot. It's a big lake. There's a lot of fucking water in there.
It is a big lake. But we can't. 69 trillion is a lot of liters, too.
You can't visualize a trillion liters. I mean, it's impossible.
I can visualize 4.918 quadrillion liters. I just picture the lake.
Yeah, but you can't even picture the lake, Joe. You can look at a map and see it, but all you see when you look at it is like 1%
of it. I go 2 miles east and then stand on the shore. I'm like, wow, that's a fuck ton of water.
That's way more water. Yeah, but you can't see nearly all of it. So you how could you picture it all?
Well,
you can't.
I have a really great imagination. All right, gentlemen, question number 8.
Well, wait a minute. So I'm assuming I got that point.
You did.
Oh, you absolutely did. That went to all Sean. Right. You were 68 trillion liters closer to the correct answer.
Which is still, by the way, way, way far away from the correct answer. I just want to be clear that we're both, the difference
wildly
was like...
wildly wrong.
He was 98% away, and I was 99.6% away. Like, that's...
Yeah, well, we can do the exact figure. Mike, you were 4.917 quadrillion liters off of... the correct answer, and Sean was 4.849 quadrillion liters away from the correct answer.
Thank you. Both way the fuck wrong.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, number 8 is a buzz-in question, so get your fingers on buzzers. According to the United States Census Bureau, in 2018, two states tied for fastest growing state based on the percentage increase of population. Name either state. Dave?
North Dakota.
That is incorrect. Yeah. Sean?
Colorado.
That is also incorrect. Mike, your second guess.
South Dakota.
That is also incorrect. Neither of the Dakotas are the correct answer, but I appreciate you being thorough. Sean, your second and final answer.
East Dakota. No, okay. I'm going to go with... it's so weird. I don't think this could possibly be right, but I'll say Michigan.
That is incorrect.
Was it Florida, Joe? Was one of them Florida?
No, and you don't get any more guesses. The correct answers, with a growth of 2.1%, were Nevada and Idaho.
Wow.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I said it was impossible trivia, not that it was interesting.
So I picked the Dakotas because of the gigantic burgeoning job market out there. I really would have guessed that that was one of them.
But, no, Nevada and Idaho. All right, question number 9. This is a lock-in question, by the way. Home to every American president except George Washington, who chose the site, the White House has 6 floors, 16 bedrooms, 35 bathrooms, boasts a floor space of 55,000 square feet, and sits on 18 acres of land. Some of its amenities include gated entry, central air conditioning, a pool, a basketball court, a tennis court, the ability to start a thermonuclear war, and a fitness center.
Uh-huh.
According to the real estate website Zillow, what is the estimated value of the property in U.S. dollars?
Zillow has an estimate?
They sure do.
It's got central AC. That's how old is the roof?
Super.
Oh, that might need replacing soon.
What was the square footage again?
55,000 square feet on 18 acres of land.
Okay.
Smack dab in the middle of Washington, D.C.
Is there is laundry on the first floor?
I believe it's in the basement.
That's going to lower the value there. All right, let's see here.
All right, Mike's answer is locked in.
I went with a ridiculously high number.
I did just, too.
Just FYI.
FYI, Sean went with a ridiculously high number. And I'll tell you before I even tell you the answer, that his answer is several times greater than the most expensive house in the world.
Wow.
Easily.
So, don't feel so bad about your answer there, Mike.
All right, maybe I'm closer than I thought.
Sean, what is your answer? For the cost, the estimated value of the White House.
Well, it's just such an iconic home. The architecture is so beautiful. I went with a conservative $17 billion.
Oh, yeah. Very, very conservative.
I'm feeling a little better about my answer now.
You should be. Mike, what is your answer?
I said $275 million.
That can't be enough, right? That's not enough.
That is a lot of money for a house, Sean.
But people live in houses, like celebrities live in houses that big.
But I think the Zillow estimate is based on like the metrics, right? What? Like it's not
Hey, Sean.
Probably.
What celebrity lives on 18 acres of land in the middle of a major city?
I bet Tom Hanks does.
No, he doesn't. Nobody does.
Probably not.
Because that's insane.
I don't think there's a celebrity that has a house that's $275 million.
You're probably right.
Jesus
like
$10
Christ, million dollar house is enormous. Yeah.
The correct answer for what Zillow estimated the White House to be valued at is $412 million.
All right.
So that one absolutely goes to Mike. Because nice. Sean was off by $16.5 billion.
But did Zillow factor in the thermonuclear war aspect? I don't feel like they did.
I mean, I don't know. Probably
I think that's a good point, Sean. I mean,
thank you.
They can't have, right?
Well, they didn't list it as an amenity, but nevertheless, the question was what they estimated it to be.
How much is a thermonuclear warhead and launch station worth?
Well, none of the warheads are on the property.
No, but still, the capabilities and the technology that's actually in the White House has to be worth more than any individual U.S. citizen could possibly afford. There's no, yeah. You know, it's that's where my answer came from.
I don't care.
$275 million is a lot of fucking money for
not
a house.
For Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, it's not like he's going to be able to buy it.
Bill Gates. Yeah, you know, it's not on the market.
Although some would say that you can buy the White House.
Yeah, good point. Gentlemen, we have reached the 10th and final question, and right now the score is Sean with 6 and Mike with 7.
Ooh. Oh my God, nice, oh, nice. No.
This is super close, because this is a buzz-in question, which means that whoever gets this right, they will win the game. I didn't even have to create drama here. It exists.
All right.
All right. Let's do this. Buzzers are reset. In 1915, the very first stop signs were introduced in Michigan. What color were they? Big red.
I'm going to say that they were red.
That is incorrect. Mike, your first guess.
Yellow.
That is also incorrect. that did come later. Yellow colors did predate red because they actually couldn't make a reflective red that stood up to the weather.
Yeah, I figured most signage in general was probably yellow.
It was back then. That was the only pigment they could make that could withstand like UV radiation and the weather. Yeah. Eventually got switched to red, but it wasn't the first stop signs. Sean, your second guess.
Green.
That would be ironic.
Green is absolutely wrong.
I took a shot.
Shit.
Mike, okay. You're currently winning the game, but you can totally just jump ahead.
Well, okay, so you mentioned the pigment situation, so I'm going to say white.
I was going to... all right, yeah. He won, that's right.
White is absolutely correct.
Yes!
God damn it, I gotta stop second-guessing myself. Congratulations, Mike.
So you were going to guess white is what you're saying.
I was...
And with a final score of Mike with 10 and Sean with 6, Mike receives the negative point and is the winner of the game.
Very nice.
And that was
nice.
Impossible
thank you,
trivia.
Thank you.
I had a tiebreaker ready if you needed it, and it was the volume of water on Earth.
In liters?
Correct. The estimated volume of water on the Earth in liters.
Oh my God. That has to be such a huge number. I can't. Centrillions
of
numbers.
We were so
far
off with a lake.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't get anywhere close to the. I thought the lake would like clue you in though.
Yeah.
And you would go bigger.
Well, you have to go way, way, way.
I know.
Way bigger.
I don't know the numbers that are that big. I really don't.
Well, I'll tell you a number that's that big, because if we got to the tiebreaker,
you had the
answer. Number you would have had to have been guessing is 1.386 septillion liters.
Good God.
If you need an imperial conversion, that's 366.14 sextillion gallons.
Well, that sounds like a lot.
It's a fuckload of water. All right, for our last segment this week, we're going to Sean.
Yeah. Guys, I want to talk about something that my uncle actually brought up just yesterday.
Was it his penis?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. No, I do want to talk about it. No. He brought up the interesting phenomenon that is how two wonderful things combined can equal something bad.
Especially with food, yeah.
Indeed. So yeah. I want to talk about that.
All right. Mike, what is that brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Jensen's. Oh, you've just got to have a Jensen's. When you need to do stuff, you need the right thing. That's where Jensen's comes in. It'll work. Just use it. And do things with it. What? Take it from me, you won't believe how much easier it is to do the things when you've got one. you'll wonder, how the heck did I do this before? I'm so busy. I don't have time for all that. Now, I've got so much time. So never leave home without a Jensen's. Back to you, Sean.
That's so stupid. I love it.
Guys, I want to talk about, it's weird, right? You love two things. Say you love dark chocolate, right? It's delicious. And then say you love Parmesan cheese.
Oh, God.
Well, what if you mix those two things together? Not good. Why is that? Huh? What's that all about?
You know what that reminds me of? There was an episode of Full House when Michelle took this idea. Okay, we could sing the song. That's cool. We could totally do that.
Slamming into Twin Towers.
Oh my God. What?
Oh, I must have listened to it.
That's the wrong city.
I'm sorry. They're in San Francisco, right?
It's also just wrong, morally speaking.
It's wrong and the wrong city.
Well, those are the only lyrics I know.
Whenever I think of a TV show, I think of 9/11.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I'm supposed to never forget.
I feel like I just need to give Sean like 1,000 bells.
I'm actually on board with that.
Yeah, there's just nothing right about that.
Is it too soon? You're watching Full House, and what happened?
Michelle. Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy,
slamming in the Twin Towers.
Everywhere you look,
it was an inside job.
There's a face.
Orchestrated by George Bush.
Oh my God, there's a face. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere you
jumped way ahead. You skipped like a bunch of shit.
Oh my God. Are we going to finish this?
I hope so.
I mean,
yeah.
If you want.
Mike.
Everywhere you look. Everywhere you
go. And that's
go,
all the time we have,
heart,
I'm afraid.
Mike, you're reminded
hold on
of Full
to.
House.
Yeah, so I was reminded of a moment from Full House when Michelle runs with this idea of taking two things that are good
on their own. Joe.
And one of them is, I think it's vanilla ice cream.
All right.
And the other is tuna.
Ew.
Tuna.
Gross.
And she combines them, and she thinks she's made this great discovery, and she has like Joey or something eat it, and it's horrible. Yeah, so that's what I was reminded of. So that's why we did that whole 27 minutes of Full House intro.
Well, to be fair, we're probably drunk.
We're definitely drunk.
Well, but I'm definitely drunk, but I didn't want to speak for the two of you.
What I thought would be fun, though, we can make this a short segment, is for each of us to brainstorm two of our favorite items that just cannot go together.
Sex and dinner with my family.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be food.
No, it doesn't have to be food. Well, wait, why would you be having sex during dinner with your family?
You said two things I liked that don't go together.
I see.
What if that was just the only opportunity that he's had in months? And
well, then I'd still take it.
Yeah, and it's dinner with the family, but sex just turned up, so I gotta take
that.
Listen,
baby, go under the table, okay?
This isn't good, but...
If they're your family, they'd understand. I mean,
listen,
you're here.
Listen, Mom, you know? I've had a bit of a dry spell, just, you know, be cool.
Yeah, that's so weird, yeah.
Well, Joe, this is how your father and I conceived you.
Why is my mom from Wisconsin?
Don't you know, Bobby? Oh, Bobby,
my mom is not from Wisconsin, although she is a fan of the Green Bay Packers.
I was actually, my two things were going to be sex and alcohol.
There's a balance.
There
where,
is a balance. It's
where
a
you're,
delicate,
you're more likely
balance.
To have it if you have if the parties involved are having it.
If alcohol and sex didn't go together on any level, I would not have much sex in life.
The population of the planet would be about a quarter of what it is right
now. Like, because, see, what you got to realize is that I need my beer goggles on, although they're like scotch goggles. And then I also need her scotch goggles on.
Scoggles.
And we just need to be ignoring what each other looks like. And that's where I live.
I don't think sex and alcohol don't go together. I think that's ridiculous.
No, if you're slightly, if you're slightly tipsy, especially on like champagne.
Yes,
it's just like boner champagne.
Champagne gets the ladies in the mood sometimes.
Yes, but
not
but,
just
you know,
the ladies.
Too much alcohol, and you're unable to have sex.
Okay, so your answer is way too much alcohol and sex.
Well, not way too much. Even just you know, too much. All right, good point. Mike, what is your two things?
Well, I'm going to go with food because that just makes the most sense to me. I'm going to say pickles. I love pickles.
Yep.
And chocolate pudding.
Oh, God.
Chocolate pudding with pickles.
It does sound bad, but Mike, I also feel like I could get you to eat that.
I would actually totally eat that, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
It would be terrible.
You love such weird, like, strong flavors that if I said, eat this pickle pudding, you would.
But pickles are so watery and, like, juicy versus pudding. Pudding is so milky, you know? Those two things do not go well.
It would be disgusting.
Yeah, you're gonna be mixing your palate with... like a strong vinegar dill taste and just the richest chocolate milk.
Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Jesus Christ.
Numbers.
What about like...
pickle pudding. It should have ended on pickle pudding.
Yeah, I feel like we've exhausted this topic. So that's the end of our episode. And with a score of 1, Mike is this week's loser.
Yeah.
Even though I won the game?
Yeah.
Well, you were at 2, and then you got a negative point, and now you're at 1. So that's the back end of it all. Oh, don't feel too bad. Sean's lost, like, the last 4 episodes in a row. So
and I lose every game. That actually does make me feel better. Every single game.
You came so close to winning this one, though, Sean.
I know.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Next time you do a game, you should just write yourself into the game.
Right, Oh, I happen to know this one.
All right, guys, we're going to play a game. I'm going to be the winner, regardless of what happens.
The game is, what is my social security number?
No, we both know that.
God damn it. I know Joe does.
323.
And I only know Joe does because I never gave it to him, but he is Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he probably knows mine too, so we're fine.
Listen, I've opened up some Roth IRAs in both of your names. Everything is fine.
Thank you.
I also bought myself some nice stuff using your credit, but it's all good.
Or is this tasteful?
Very, very tasteful.
As long as the IRA has earned more money than you've spent, I'm actually okay with that.
It's about even.
I would be too.
All right, Mike is this week's loser. And with that, I have been Joe Moracle.
I have been Sean Keller.
And I'm always Mike.
Have a great week. A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly. wisdom, and you could be jolly. A little nonsense now and then.